How are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right, Paul. How you doing?
So far, so good. Dave, of course, with the Chronicle-Telegram, joins us on the local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Vandermark Jewelers is a trusted name in jewelry, and if you stop by, you'll see why. You can also check them out online at VandermarkJewelers.com. That's VandermarkJewelers.com. You can see them in person right across from the hospital here in Elyria. All right, Dave, lots to talk about this week, and I know that we're kind of going all over the map here with some of these, but I want to begin with something that one of your colleagues at the Chronicle-Telegram wrote, and that was at a recent Elyria City Council meeting where the idea of hiring a parks director once again kind of came back up. And you think about the idea, it sounds great in theory, but then you also think about how economically the whole COVID-19 crisis has such a gigantic impact on all of us. Does it seem like something like that is possible, even though it seems like it really is desperately needed?
Well, you know, this is a situation where, you know, because of the whole COVID-19 crisis, you know, the city had to make some real kind of difficult decisions regarding cuts. And one of those things that basically city council decided and the mayor decided through all of this this coronavirus pandemic is that maybe there's not so much a need for a parks and recreation director. I mean, parks and recreation are going to look a lot different, you know, going from this spring into the summer because of the pandemic, you know, how close people can get to each other, wearing masks, that kind of thing. So basically, you know, city council came around and said, look, you know, we're facing even worse, you know, potential liability and safety issues without somebody to oversee this department, you know, whatever it's going to look like this summer, you know. Back when the pandemic, you know, first started, Carrie Reardon was laid off in April, in part because of the budget shortfalls, and also, it's rather than lay off, say, a bunch of police officers and firefighters, it's like, let's lay off, you know, our Parks and Recreation director, let's lay off our cemetery department director, let's make some other cuts before we have to cut deep into public safety services. So, you know, there's been some frustration on all sides there, you know, and it's just kind of having oversight of city facilities, having somebody that things can be reported to, having somebody kind of there to be a leader, you know, for any parks and recreation services. That's part of the concern that the city council has.
And you wonder, again, with the COVID-19 crisis, how that complicates this whole thing incredibly. And it just sounds like that's a gigantic roadblock right now. All right, Dave. Well, last week we were going to talk about this story, but we just kind of ran out of time. And I know you updated it earlier today, the story about a Grafton correctional officer who was caught sleeping on the job. And this thing just continues to get wilder by the day. This now involves an alter ego and all kinds of good stuff. So please explain for those who have not heard about this story just yet.
Well, yeah, kind of a strange situation to begin with. For those who weren't aware, you know, back on June 15th, a gentleman actually got in touch with a couple news media, you know, organizations, including the Chronicle-Telegram, you know, kind of earlier that week, and reported that he was at a Pilot truck stop just north of Columbus, in the village of Morrow, and saw that there was a Grafton corrections officer on a prison transport bus that had either been taking, inmates to Columbus or bringing them back from the Columbus area, who had nodded off on the bus. This gentleman took a couple photos. He identified himself to me as Joseph Clark. And then he also said, well, I called the prison and I reported this. Prison officials were pretty quick to say, okay, well, we're going to take this guard out of the rotation. The corrections officer's name is Sean Moran. We learned that yesterday in some public records documents that we requested. Has been taken off the transportation roster and is awaiting some more investigation. Mr. Clark told me that he has had some previous problems with the prison system. So when he called to report this guard being asleep, he identified himself as Jason Atwell. And he said, I used that name because the prison system, well, they just hate me. So there's something going on there. I felt it was necessary to the story to say that, hey, you know, there's a gentleman who's purporting to be one person and he's when he makes reports and has told, you know, members of the media that he's somebody else. It's just kind of an odd situation has become even more odd. So there's still an investigation going on, and we'll see. You know, we'll keep following up on that with the prison system. But it really just a strange kind of story. And the fact this gentleman was in the right place at the right time for him, and maybe for the wrong time for the corrections officer, you know, to catch him taking a nap or whatever happened. Again, that's still part of the investigation, but we'll see where this comes out at the end.
Well, and the interesting thing too is that there appear to be conflicting reports here, is right? I mean, so the Grafton Correctional Institution is stating that, you know, they don't have any proof that there were inmates in this vehicle, right? But the claim initially was that there were indeed a couple of inmates in the van, isn't that right?
That's correct. Is it this Mr. Clark gentleman, you know, slash Atwell, said, oh yeah, there were absolutely inmates on the bus. He told me that he was convinced there were inmates on the bus. A prison spokesperson said there were not any inmates on the bus. You know, that basically was an empty bus, either you know, going to or coming from the prison about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So there's conflicting stories about what exactly is, you know, has happened here, you know, and we don't know anything more about the circumstances, you know, under which these guards were operating. And then again, that's going to be, you know, more part of the investigation. And we have the initial report, and we'll keep tabs on it.
Yeah, and last week, I think when you put the article together, we were just going to discuss the basics, but I'm kind of glad we waited on this because a lot more information has come to light here. And, you know, Dave, I think sometimes you cover a story and it just kind of goes the way you expect it to go. This one, I think you can classify as one that really kind of went in a number of different directions and went the polar opposite direction of where you were thinking it was going to go.
Yeah, absolutely. You never know sometimes when you first sit down and gather all your information and get ready to write what you're gonna find when they're, you know, what you're gonna read or what you're gonna see or what people are gonna say by the end of an interview or by the time you sit down to write it and realize, oh gosh, you know, somebody said something that now I have to ask more questions and I do more digging and I need to reach out to some more people.
Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us on the Local Beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. All right, Dave, let's dive into some information regarding the Lorain County Commissioners. What are the details on the $1.8 million renewal levy the commissioners resolve for Lorain County Children's Services?
So this is basically one of those no new taxes, $1.8 million renewal levy for Lorain County Children's Services on the November ballot. Commissioners passed a resolution in support of the levy. That passed unanimously last Wednesday. If passed, the levy, again, would not raise taxes and would cost the owner of a $100,000 home about $63 a year. Basically, you're looking at about, you know, for that particular cost, and again, not everybody's house, you know, is worth exactly $100,000, but we use that just kind of as a base. That same homeowner would spend 17 cents a day, you know, supporting the levy if they voted for it. Again, you know, Lorain County Children's Services, basically, you know, they take a little bit more than half of their budget, half their annual budget is provided by that levy. Another 35% comes from the federal government, from federal sources, another 11% from the state, and then other sources are less than 1%. The agency's real busy. They had more than 4,500 referrals for suspected child abuse and child neglect in 2019. They work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They've been accredited for better than 20 years. And basically, they do a lot of other things, from investigating, you know, the child abuse and neglect to helping out with foster services, you know, licensing new foster families, you know, assisting with kinship care. So say mom and dad are either, you know, passed away, or they're dealing with addiction, or maybe one of them is incarcerated, you know. They help out grandparents who have to take responsibility for the kids, that kind of thing. They arrange visitation services, you know, for parents who maybe don't have custody, you know, same deal. And they also assist with, you know, adoption services and they help out families who are dealing with addiction or teens leaving foster care. I mean, there's any number of, that's why it's all encompassing, you know, children's services. They deal with all these different kinds of things. And that's one agency that the commissioners very obviously said, you know, you're required, we need you, your work is important, and that's why we're going to go ahead and support this renewal levy.
Very, very good stuff. Again, $1.8 million renewal levy approved, resolved by the Lorain County Commissioners. And Dave, we've come to that point in the interview where we get to have a little bit of fun with the scanner. I know that your ears are all over it. You heard some pretty good ones this week, I'm sure. What kinds of good scanner stories do you have for us?
Well, I'm gonna go back to one of our better sources for these kinds of things, and that's at NEO Scan on Twitter, Northeast Ohio Scanner, and give you Dateline Cleveland, a disturbance at Hopkins Airport in the area of American Airlines for a female who missed her flight and then was so upset she threw her child at the agent.
No.
Yes.
Wow. That's the most impulsive thing I think I've ever heard in my entire life, right? Like, normally you have the wherewithal to kind of grab something, like, not life-sustaining, like, that is not a piece of life, right? Like, a chair, an object, something, not a child? Wow, that's, yikes.
You would think maybe a pen, you know, or a, you know, a ticket book, or... Or, you know, a paperback, but no, an actual living child apparently was hucked at this
holy smokes
at this agent. So maybe not so funny. I hope the kid's okay. You know, but just really bizarre.
I mean, that poor kid. That's all I keep thinking about. This poor little boy or girl just getting thrown at a complete stranger. I mean, I'm not even sure where to begin here. I'm awfully curious here. Like, man, how?
Yeah.
Any idea how old the kid was?
It you know, the tweet didn't say. You know, I hope the child is really okay, and that you know, authorities stepped in to get, you know, mom and child some help.
Wow.
Yeah. Holy cow. I had not heard that. I'm surprised that that hasn't actually gotten a little bit more attention.
Yeah, I'm sure some legal action is following that soon.
Oof. Oh yeah, that's the kind of story that catches fire pretty quick too. So, geez, oh man, Dave, you never disappoint with the scanner stories, my friend. Always a pleasure to have you on with us, and we look forward to catching up again next week. Have a safe and happy holiday weekend.
And you guys do the same.
Thank you, Dave. Boy, next week for those scanner stories, I'm sure.
Oh,
Dave will
boy.
Have plenty with people setting off fireworks that probably have no business setting off fireworks.
Dateline. Everywhere will be his headline for next week.